CTV.
The resurrection of Lazarus for either tonight or tomorrow. What I want to do is come back here for like an hour, just because I just want to keep talking about this after dinner. I know it's tempting to want to stay at the Tiki Bar, and I thought, does anybody really want to come back here after the Tiki Bar?
Yeah.
Let's do it. And we can just hang out here. We can have like one teaching and another Q&A, and then we can hang out here and talk, or you can go back to Tiki Bar, do whatever you want. I'm just old school. That's the way I've always done it. Yeah, one little session in the evening. But anyway, just because that's why we're here. That's why we're here. So I'm going to give a short talk. The official cameraman's going to give a short talk, and then we're going to have the free-for-all. So I'm going to talk about the two Gospels. You can't have a talk. You can't do a conference without the salvation of all and the resurrection of all. Check. Can't have a talk with the purpose Christ without the purpose of why Christ came and his sacrifice is sufficient. Check. Well, you can't have a talk without distinguishing the two Gospels in the New Testament. And somebody made this handy dandy bookmark. Does anybody recognize this? Do you have one? I've got about 100 of them. I can't remember where I got them or who made them. But on the one side, it says the word of truth, and on the other side, rightly divided. And on this side, it says the gospel of the kingdom of God. And on this side, it says the gospel of the grace of God. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points that are contrasted on this handy little bookmark laminated card. And I'm just going to go through those briefly. And this might inspire some questions during the Q&A, which is coming up. For those who don't realize this, maybe for some on the video, there are actually two different good newses in the New Testament, so-called New Testament. The message to Israel, to me, I don't know. When I was a kid, I read Jesus' words, and they kind of like scared me a little bit. It's like he was so strict. He was not very fun, right? He was just always very serious and pick up your cross. And follow me, and give up your soul, and all these things. And he sent his disciples out without a cloak, without any money. And he said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he talked about the valley of Gehenna. He talked about the fire. And if your right hand offends you, then use your left hand. That's what I always say. If your right hand offends you, cast it off. Better to go into the kingdom, you know, with one hand than to enter into the fires of Gehenna. It always seemed like he wasn't much fun at a party. Jesus wasn't much fun at a party. And yet his words were in red. So these were the red, fiery words of Jesus Christ. What I didn't realize my whole life was that Paul sets it out so clearly in Romans 15:8. He said Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. For those who don't realize this, why is it called the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision? I wish it was called something else. I like the gospel of the grace of God. Because when you're talking about circumcision, you're talking about cutting off the end of your favorite reproduction organ, speaking of us males. God instituted the rite of circumcision, which is a strange thing. Everybody knows what it is, right? I don't have to go into graphic detail. Oh, Regina doesn't know. I have to explain it, right? You're just trying to torture me. You want me to... You have boys? Well, the thing was, in Israel, when God made the promise to Abraham, he said, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So Israel's big thing is procreation. They were going to populate the earth. And so Abraham was going to produce a seed. And we know what happened. He produced a seed out of the flesh, and then one from the spirit. But since one of the stars of the Israelite gospel is the male reproduction organ, that's like one of the stars. I never quite put it this way. Is this good? It sounds bad, but it's kind of good because it's the truth. That's why the rite was instituted to embarrass an Israelite by snipping the end of it off. That was to humiliate them, to remember when they looked down and went, ooh, that it was God doing the reproducing and not them. It was not from their own strength that did it. I mean, that's the basis of it. As far as I understand it, I try to boil these things down to their simplicity. Why is it called the gospel of the cutting the end of your penis off? Why is it called that? Because that's what it is, and it's supposed to humiliate an Israelite. This is of me, not of you. Even though you're doing it, I'm behind it, and without me, you're sterile, it's futile. Without me, there's nothing. Without me, you're impotent. I'm the God of reproduction. Remember that. And to make you remember it, I want every boy to go through this thing at 8 days old. Going to snip, snip, snip. And it's going to remind you of that. But what does Israel do? What does Israel do? What Israel always does. Huh, I'm circumcised. You're not. You missed the whole point. They're bragging about a humiliating rite. So that was called, as Paul says in Galatians 2:7, the gospel of those people who are concerned about that thing. For lack of a better term, Paul's gospel is called the gospel of people who are not concerned about that particular thing. So it's called the gospel of the uncircumcision. It's just the opposite of that other thing. It wouldn't be called uncircumcision at all if it weren't for that previous ceremony, and we're distinguishing it from people who care about that. Because we're not about the flesh. We're not about producing offspring. Israel is. It's all about offspring. You wanted to have a son in Israel. There was an old saying in Israel, you know, may God bless you and keep you. Do you remember that saying? It's a common, there was a little twist on it with the insiders. They would say, may God bless you with sons and keep you from daughters. Just passing it along. It was important to carry on the name in Israel. It was all about reproduction, populating the earth. But this gospel isn't. So it's called the un. But I prefer to call it the gospel of the grace of God. Because grace has nothing to do with the flesh. With Israel, it's flesh, flesh, flesh. You have to prove your pedigree. It's important to know what tribe you're from. And it's a mixture of law and grace. It's not completely grace. You have to produce works worthy of repentance. Jesus says, you have to follow me, take up your cross. And when I was writing this book, The First Idiot in Heaven, I wanted to write something on the back that would really encapsulate it. It's really hard to do. It's much easier to write the entire book than to encapsulate it in three paragraphs. That was the hardest part of the whole thing. How do I say this in four paragraphs? This is how I did it. While on earth, Jesus said some difficult things. He told the rich to give away all their money and the joyful to become mourners. If you wanted to inherit the earth, you had to be meek. If your eye offended you, no problem, as long as you plucked it out. A friend of mine said, can I start following Jesus on Monday? I'd like to enjoy the weekend. Obviously, the words and commands of Jesus are pure, perfect, and holy, and meant for Israelites. Jesus himself said, quote, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is it possible that we have been struggling along someone else's path? What if the words in red were never meant to be our marching orders? Several months after leaving earth, the Jewish Messiah appeared as a very non-Jewish light to a self-righteous idiot en route to Damascus to kill Christians. Up next, not only a startling new destiny for believers, heaven instead of earth, but a new message of pure grace for all humanity. Jesus was so limited when he was on earth that people don't realize that. When I was in the Catholic Church for 18 years, the priest in our church, his name was Father Oliver. He was such a pompous ass. It's just the whole ceremony of the Catholic ritual, right? He was the one who read the words in red. And he would walk up to the podium while carrying the Bible in front of him, and everybody was hushed, and he had the words of red. And he ascended the podium with great fanfare. It was all like Shakespeare. Why don't you just join a theatrical troupe and do Shakespeare? You're doing it right here. And the funny thing is that we had two readings in the Catholic Mass. Anybody remember this in the Catholic Church? You had the first reading, which were from the letters of Paul. And then you had the Gospels where the priest did. The letters of Paul, our seventh grade science teacher read the letters of Paul. That was a job for the seventh grade science teacher. It was. Mr. Kranick, he read the letters of Paul. They were nothing. I always wondered. I remember Paul to the Thessalonians. Who are the Thessalonians and why would anybody care? We want the words of Jesus in red. But actually, the words of Paul are from the resurrected Christ, from the Christ who traded in his Jew suit for a glorious body. And so the gospel he brought to Paul is different than the gospel brought to Israel. And here are the differences. 10 key points. The gospel of the kingdom of God. In the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is another name for the kingdom on earth, the 1,000-year kingdom, Jesus Christ is called the shepherd and king. He's the shepherd and he's the king. In the gospel of the grace of God, he's the savior and the head. He's the head of the body. It's a more exalted position. Not that there's anything wrong with a shepherd and a king. But he's not only the king of Israel, but he's the head of the body of Christ. He's also the head of the universe. We find that out in Colossians. In the gospel of the kingdom of God, that gospel declares pardon and forgiveness. Sounds good until you read this. The gospel of the grace of God, declares justification and reconciliation. What's the difference? Phil hinted at it. He's not here, but he said, if you're forgiven, your sin is still on record. This is what you did. This is what you did. Here it is. Here's the record of your crime. We're going to let you off the hook. And you're lucky because we're going to let you off the hook. Whereas justification is you're declared righteous. You're not guilty. Have you ever heard a judge pronounce somebody not guilty and then say, we're going to tell you what we're going to do? You're not guilty, but we're going to overlook the penalty. You didn't do it, but we're going to overlook your jail sentence. No, it's a radical difference between not guilty and we're going to overlook your penalty. In the gospel of the kingdom of God, what is preached? Who is preached to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. I quoted that earlier, Matthew 15:24. Paul's gospel preached faith, obedience among all the nations. We don't realize this enough. Before Paul, the nations had nothing. We take it for granted. You don't know how important it is, what a big deal Israel is or was in that day. How important. God chose that nation to reveal himself to. You know, when he created the heavens and the earth, he put the stars in the heaven and the planets, and that spoke of God's power. And there were gradually God revealed himself to certain people, Job, Noah. But with Israel, God's now calling a group of people to really start telling secrets to. And for thousands of years, that was the only nation he told things to. The only nation. In fact, Acts says that God let the other nations go their own way. They were off the table. And anytime anybody that was not Israelite got blessed was to beg for scraps from Israel's table. Israel was king, number one. That's it. If any member, if any non-Israelite wants anything, they're going to have to beg for a scrap from Israel. And even when Jesus was on earth, he did that. You remember the Samaritan woman that begged him to be nice to her? What was the case there? Somebody came to him and said, please do this for me. He said, I can't give the bread to dogs. He called this woman who was beseeching him for a favor, who was not an Israelite, called her a dog. It's not right to take from the table of the people and give it to dogs. And she, recognizing her place, said, well, even dogs get scraps. So he ended up blessing her. But that was the position of the nations for thousands of years, until Paul. What is the theme of the gospel of the kingdom of God? It's repent. That famous saying, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. That's what you have to do to be saved. Repent and be baptized. Change your mind or else. What's preached in the gospel of the grace of God? Be reconciled to God. Be conciliated to God because God is conciliated to you. That message is that God is at peace with you. You don't hear that in Israel. In the Israel message, in the letters in red, it's God can be at peace with you if you repent and be baptized. Paul's message is God is at peace with you as you stand, without doing anything. He's at peace with you. That's the difference with our message. I can go out here to anybody on the street and say, God is good with you. He's at peace with you. What do I have to do? Nothing. You don't have to believe it. I'm stating to you a fact that God is now reconciled to you. He's not accounting your sins to you. Oh, yeah, sure. You're going to bring out the paperwork now and make... No, that's it. It's whether you believe it or not. I made a video. Go watch it. Put in MCTV, whether you believe it or not. It's one of the best videos I've made. There are truths in the Scripture about that God is at peace with you, whether you believe it or not. You're justified. That guy walking out there is justified. He just doesn't know it. God justified the entire race at the crucifixion of Christ, whether he believes it or not. You don't hear that message in Israel. It's all contingent upon doing something. Repent and be baptized. Then I'll do this. Follow the law. Then I'll do this. Produce fruit worthy of repentance. Then I'll do this. Repent, be baptized, be circumcised. Follow the law. Pick up your cross. Boom, 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 boom. What's this? What's this? God is at peace with you, not reckoning your offenses to you. How many people know about that? If they hear it, they won't believe it because it's too good to be true. That's Paul's message. Israel choked on it. Why? This is why. Because this is God. These are the nations right here. And this is Israel. Israel is the go-between. Nobody gets to God except through Israel. They're the priesthood nation. Peter says we're a royal priesthood. A priesthood is a go-between. And so nobody came to God except through Israel. People, the nations, they had to beg Israel, introduce us to God, show us your God, show us your God. Even in Acts, Cornelius had to call for Peter in order to hear about God. He was the man. Do you know what Paul did for the nations? Watch what Paul did. This is what Paul did. Make sure you get this on the camera. This is the nations. This is God. This is Israel as the priesthood. This is what Paul did. Paul comes up after he received a personal revelation from Jesus Christ, and he does this. You're marinating in it now. You're marinating in God. You don't need a priesthood. You don't need a go-between. The Spirit of God dwells directly in you. You now have access with confidence to God. Paul says that in Ephesians. Access with confidence to the Father. You know what happened when these people heard about that? Their whole lives, they're trying to get access to God. And they have to go through rituals, and they have to observe the feast 3 times a year, and they have to do everything right. And they have to depend on the Levites in order to forgive their sins. They're doing everything to get access to God. Then Paul goes, oh, instant access. You don't have to do anything. No baptism, no circumcision, no repentance, no works. You say, oh, yeah, we know that message. Yeah, oh, yeah, we know that message. This is new. You have to realize how radical this message was when Paul started it, when Christ started through Paul. It was so radical. Nobody had ever heard of it. Only one nation had the monopoly on God. One nation, it was Israel. And they were damn proud of it. And they were rightly a priesthood nation. But we know they were self-righteous, they were arrogant, and they took it as, well, we're going to take advantage of this. We're going to lord it over the nations. That's what they did. They lorded it over the nations. Sorry, you can't come to God unless we want you to, you know. Please, please. That's why they hated Paul. The Jews hated Paul. You know who wanted to kill Paul? Not Rome. Rome saved Paul. The Jews wanted to kill Paul because of that. Paul took away the priesthood. We don't need a priesthood. You know what the Catholic Church does to you today? They want to be Israelites. They have now inserted themselves as a priesthood. How dare they? God took away that central barrier. He took away the priesthood. But the Catholic Church sets it back up and says, you can't come to God through us. We have sacraments that will usher you into the presence of God. We have a confession. You have to come once a month. You can't get married unless you have a license from us. What? I can't love a woman and have sex with a woman until I get a license from the Catholic Church? What? Do you know how many people buy into that crap? They set up sacraments. They set up walls. And they even start, the Catholic Church dresses like priests. They want to be Israelites. They're copying what God did with Israel. The priests are decorated. Yeah, that was a legitimate thing back in the day. But not now. But it doesn't matter to them. They've set up a priesthood. It's a fake priesthood. The Catholic Church is a fake priesthood. It's a Halloween show. It's a Halloween show. It's spooky. They're spooks. They're scary. And they set it up as, we forgive your sins. You forgive my sins. I bought into that. Third grade, I go into the little closet to pray to God, you know, to pray. No, not to God, to the priest. The priest tells me, how do I get rid of my sins, Father Oliver? Well, say 10 Our Fathers, 10 Hail Marys, and 10 Glory Bees. That's how I get rid of my sins? What about Jesus on the cross? Never mind, son, go say your prayers. Ah. Where'd my Israelites go? All right. But what I'm saying is, we take it for granted. We take it for granted. We have access with confidence to the Father. Do you know how much confidence the high priest had once a year when he went into the holy place? None. That's the rumor. They tied a rope around the high priest's leg, his ankle, when he went into the holy place on the Day of Atonement. So that in case, if he did something wrong, if he didn't dot an I or cross a T, or if he didn't wear the right garments in just the right way, if he didn't have the breastplate on just right, God would strike him dead. You touched the Holy of Holies back then, which was the legitimate dwelling place of God. You touched it unlawfully, you were killed. You were killed. It happened when they brought the ark back for the Philistines. Uzziah tried to steady the ark as it's coming down the road in a wagon. Touched it, dead. You're not supposed to touch it. Only the Levites touch that. Is that access to God with confidence? Then you have the Apostle Paul telling us we have access with confidence to the Father. No priesthood, no in between, no prayers even, no repentance, no baptism, no circumcision, no rites, no ceremonies, nothing. Boom. And Paul is telling this to the pigs. To the dogs. That's who he's telling this to. And you would think the Jews would hate the dogs, and they did, but they hated the man more than anything who told them that. Couldn't have been from God, couldn't have been from God. And now they say this is the same gospel? This is the same gospel? You gotta be kidding me. Ah. We just don't realize how the era we're born in. And then Paul says in Romans 11 that unless Israel had rebelled and killed their own Messiah, then the kingdom would have come when Jesus came. That's Jesus came to set up the kingdom, to die, to be crucified in Jerusalem, and to set up the kingdom. That's why Jesus came. What happened? Israel didn't accept him. If they had, the kingdom would have come then. Why do you think Jesus said, near is the kingdom of the heavens? Why do you think John the Baptist said, near is the kingdom, near is the kingdom? It's all you hear, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, near is the kingdom. Was it a lie? No, it was near. And it would have come, humanly speaking, if Israel had accepted their Messiah, but they didn't. And Paul explains that secret to us in Romans 11. He says, because of that, Paul says, you should be thankful for these people, that they're such hard-hearted, stiff-necked people. Because of their being cast away temporarily by God, blessings have come to the nations. We're here because God discarded them for a time. Not permanently. This is a unique time in history. It's called the era of the nations. It's when Israel is off the stage. Israel's going to come back on the stage. But for now, it's the body of Christ and God calling out a people according to this man's gospel, the Apostle Paul. But this era is limited. In other words, this window of grace is going to close. I tell this to people. I'm telling it to you right now. I'm telling it to you who would think, I'll tell my kids about this next week. No, tell them when you go home. This window's closing. The era of the nations does not go on forever. It's limited. Well, when does it end? Well, who knows? Paul knows. He says, when the last member of the body of Christ comes in, when the complement of the nations may be entering, Romans 11, 25, then all Israel shall be saved, according as it is written. Go home and tell your kids Monday or Sunday, if you get home on Sunday, talk to them. Because this window's closing, just like the door of the ark. Remember the door of the ark? Who closed it? Right. Who's closing this door? Yep. These are good days. These are heady days. These are days of grace, and we take it for granted. We don't know what it was like back in the day when the nations had to beg for any word from God. And now God saved. This is the grace of it. This is part of the grace of it. God saved the highest revelations he had. He saved the most intimate part of his revelation for the dogs. He didn't even give Israel everything. This pissed them off even more. Because now, not only, now the saints have a celestial destiny instead of an earthly one. Some people can't handle that. They don't like, they don't, how can I be better than Israel? It's not your choice, it's God's choice. He decided to do something spectacular with the nations. God is having fun. How does he have fun? How does God have fun? He doesn't watch YouTube. He doesn't go to the state fair. Here's how he has fun. He takes the greatest treasure he has and he gives it to idiots. He gives it to people so unworthy of it that they're stunned. It's like taking a homeless man off the street in Fort Lauderdale and giving him a penthouse on Ocean Boulevard. Say, this is your this is where you're living now. God loves to stun people. Isn't it fun to stun people with generosity, with grace, with gifts? Don't you love it? Don't you love it? When you give somebody something they completely don't expect. Problem with Israel is they came to expect it. Yeah, we're the people. We deserve it. And the nations were dogs. Even Jesus himself called them dogs when he was on earth in his Jew suit, called them dogs. It's not right to give to the dogs what belongs to the children. But God was saving it up, saving it up. Saving it. Now I'm really going to do something that's going to stun the world. I'm going to stun the world. How are you going to do that? I'm going to give the greatest lavish gifts I have to the most unworthy people. And I'm going to start with the most unworthy person, Saul the Pharisee. Yes, the most arrogant Israelite of all. Going high and low from country to country to snatch believers in Jesus Christ and bring them back to Jerusalem. To imprison them, beat them, and kill them. And Paul says, I became the pattern of God's grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm the pattern of those who are about to be believing after me. So you and I might not have been knocked down on the ground and blinded for 3 days, but it's the same pattern. Paul says, God overwhelmed me with grace. I can't think of a better finish than that. I got about 6 more points on here, but I think I covered it pretty good. So don't take for granted what we have. Don't take for granted the era you were born in. Don't take it for granted. It's so easy to, because we're born in it. We're just used to it. Yeah, grace of God. Yeah, no. No rites, no ceremonies. Hey, yeah, great. Boy, it came at a high cost. And none of it would be true if God wasn't crazy with his gifts. God's just crazy. He's a lunatic, really. He's just like, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He just does the most unexpected thing. And people say, I'm not worthy. But God's, according to Paul in Ephesians 1, this is in accord with the delight of God, this calling. God delights God to bless you. Bless you. Delights God to send you to his right hand, to his throne. It delights him. That's how he has fun. Let him have his fun. Don't complain about it. Don't wonder why you're not. I'm not worthy. Really? Oh, you just got that memo? Of course you're not worthy. That's not the point. Greg, come on up here. I'll man the thing. Greg's going to talk to us for 10 minutes. Yes, you do need this. Thanks for reminding me of that.
It'll be a lot nicer.
I wasn't nice to you.
My hand was
I know, yeah. Thing, man. I want you to stay rooted and grounded.
Well, you know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, watch it. Right.
I got one question. How in the heck am I supposed to follow that? Oh, you're good.